when we please, Psalm number 56. Psalm number 56. Verse 8. Thou tellest my wanderings, put thou my tears into thy bottle, are they not in thy book? Well, notice please that the word tellest means to number, to collate, to recall. Like the idea that the very hairs of our head are all numbered. Which doesn't mean that God's got a book in heaven and he said, I've got so many thousand hairs. It means that each hair individually is numbered. And in this sense, you come to this verse, and thou tellest my wanderings. And every little bit of the wanderings of our lives, each one of us, over the past year since last you met in this way, he knows every detail of it. He's watched every step. There's not a moment when he has been absent from us. Or when you think of the word wanderings, you think of the 38 years of wanderings of the children of Israel. And the glory cloud wandered with them all the while. And the manna fell as they wandered every day. And they drank in a certain sense of that spiritual rock that followed them all the way through. It reminds us, we come to an expression like this, that God has not only recorded every detail of our wanderings through the past year, but he's never failed. And he's never left us. Every promise of his has proved to be valid, real. He's the God who we have witnessed, and we witness this evening, he's the God of absolute faithfulness. And so as we gather in his presence today, he has known all our wanderings. I suppose an annual conference is a good occasion, isn't it, to look back on our wanderings. Some of us really have wandered, haven't we? Maybe some of us here this evening, we are very conscious that we have wandered. That is to say, instead of keeping the will of God or ourselves in the center of the will of God and being in complete obedience to his word, we have wandered. Gathered here this evening, we know something of the God of recoverer, the God of restoration, the God who loves to bring his people back. He's known all our wanderings. But in a more simple sense, he has known every step that we have taken. Every tragedy and trial that has crossed our path. Maybe a year ago some of us were fitting well, and today we're not. Maybe some of us were fit a year ago and now we have terminal disease and we know the end is drawing near. He knows all about that. He knows all about our wanderings. Some of us, our employment was secure a year ago, and today it's not, and some are unemployed. He knows all about our wanderings. What a comfort it is to know we have a Father who knows and cares and understands, and nothing about our lives is missed by him. And so the psalmist in this psalm says, thou numberest, thou countest, thou recordest with meticulous care all my wanderings. But in the midst of his wandering, the verse would tell us, put thou my tears into thy bottle. For in the course of his wanderings, he's come into sorrow, experienced grief, known tragedy. He's been, shall we say, in the valley of Baca, valley of tears. Maybe you could bring in here Psalm 23 and think of the valley where death casts its shadow. That's a valley of tears. How many of the saints weep? How many of the saints weep alone? thinking of that dear sister in a letter. The loneliness. Possibly weeping alone. Some of the saints face the adversities of life. The loss of loved ones. The grief of loved ones who are not saved and show no inclination toward the things of God, and the tears the saints shed. The world of tears. Said the psalmist, put thou my tears into thy bottle. In heaven, there's a golden pot for manna. There's a vial for the prayers of the saints. There's a bottle for the tears of the saints. A bottle that will never burst. It's a bottle that will never perish. It'll last. It's the idea of the preservation of something in a leather bottle, of course. Psalmist prays, put thou my tears into thy bottle. Every teardrop falls from the eyes of the saints of God, precious in heaven. There's a bottle to keep tears. I suppose the most precious tears there'll ever be in heaven will be the tears of him whom the Bible says with strong crying and tears prayed unto him who was able to save him out of death. Was heard to his piety. The tears of the Son of Joy in heaven. The tears of the Man of Sorrows. I was thinking today that says when Jesus saw her weeping, and when he saw those that were with her weeping, Jesus troubled himself and he groaned in the spirit and Jesus wept. The most precious tears were ever shed on him and they'll never be forgotten in eternity. Tears of the Son of God. Mystery. How he who knew that within moments he was going to raise the dead to life. How in the perfect mystery of his being, he could weep and groan. Groan as he looked upon them weeping and recognized the awful havoc sin had made in the grip of death upon humanity. Real human tears as he saw the object of his affection. Special love, weeping. Put thou my tears into thy bottle. Are they not in thy book? A record of tears in heaven. The circumstances in which the tears were shed. You can go from the beginning of your Bible to the end and think of all those that the Bible records shed tears. There's a record of tears in heaven. Every teardrop in a bottle. Every occasion of weeping recorded in heaven. My dear brother, my dear sister, as you look back over the past year, every tear you've ever shed, remembered in that bottle. Every tear you've ever shed, recorded in that book. I suppose it would be true to say that for a few moments at least, both Mary and Martha were comforted by the tears of Jesus, that he wept as he walked with them to the grave where Lazarus lay. The comfort of fellowship in tears. What a comfort it must have been in their grief for the elders of Ephesus. When Paul had suggested that they see his face for the last time, they worked together. The comfort was weeping together. Good for the saints to know that there is one upon the very throne of God. My Bible doesn't say he sheds tears in heaven. I don't know if that's possible. But I know the emotions of his heart, this same Jesus, are exactly the same as his emotions when he was here on earth. He's saying he feels afresh what every member feels. His tears in a bottle, our tears in a bottle, recorded in heaven. And thus we are exhorted, are we not, to rejoice with them that do rejoice, and to weep with them that weep. The Saviour expressed the fellowship of tears with weeping women. Grand ministry to weep with them that weep, and take kindly words and preeminently the words of Scripture, where the Bible says, therefore, comfort one another with these words. I suppose the best we can do with words, and the best we can do with tears, but dries the tears for a wee while. When the saints of God are alone, they'll weep again. When pain comes, they'll weep again. And when the sense of loss comes, they'll weep again. When saints are hungry and thirsty, they'll weep again. Turn with me to Revelation chapter 6. Revelation chapter 7. And there is one who has promised not only to keep tears in a bottle and to have a perfect record of tears in heaven, the memory of which will never be lost. But in Revelation chapter 7, he has promised to wipe away all tears from their eyes. You'll notice, please, that he'll not do it with words of kindness. And he'll not do it with words of comfort. He'll not even do it with the Holy Scriptures. Let's read. Verse 15. Therefore, they are before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more. Neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. Why will they weep no more? He'll wipe away their tears by taking away the cause of the tears. It's good to take a handkerchief and wipe away the tears. It's good to use the word of God and see the tears dry up. What you and I cannot do is to remove the cause of the tears. And in this chapter, I know it's not ideally asked for, it's the saints at the end of the great tribulation. principles of faith. They will hunger no more. Why? Because he'll feed them. They won't weep because they're hungry anymore. They'll thirst no more. They won't weep for thirst. For he'll satisfy the longing soul. They won't weep because of the privations of the desert when the heat strikes upon them. Because he'll bring them eternally under his shadow with great delight. He'll take away the cause of the heat. You and I have to be content for the moment. We're in a scene of tears. We're in a scene of trial. We're in a scene of suffering because the things that cause the sufferings are prevalent all around. For hungry souls, the day will come when they hunger no more. For thirsty souls, the day will come when they thirst no more. Saints of the coming day in the wilderness, cast out by men, scorched by the heat, it'll all be over one day. And they'll not suffer from any heat again. Turn back. Isaiah chapter 25, which of course covers the same period of the end of tribulation day. Isaiah chapter 24. Verse 6. In this mountain shall the Lord of hosts make for all peoples a feast of fasting, so they'll hunger no more. A feast of wines on the lees, so they'll thirst no more. He will destroy verse 7 in this mountain, the face of the covering cast over all the peoples, the veil spread over all the nations. What's that? That's the widow's veil. You younger folk wouldn't understand this. When I was a boy and had to go to the morning meeting in my untrained days, there wasn't much to interest us. When the Lord's Day morning meeting started at 10:45 and went on to 1:00, and I dare not move a limb, a little finger, some things intrigued me. And it was that the majority of sisters were wearing a veil. When the bread and the wine came down, they unknotted this veil in order to take the emblems. The widow's veil. What's the passage say here? He will destroy in this mountain the face of the covering cast over the peoples. Not the people, plural, please. But the word people, singular, but plural here, please. It's the widow's veil upon all the nations. And the quantity of tears that has been shed because of ruin. The day is coming when he's going to remove forever the widow's veil. They won't shed tears of bereavement in that day because nobody will be bereaved. They won't follow the funeral procession to the cemetery, because then death will be removed. And there won't be any tears. Why? What does the passage say? He will swallow up death in victory. He'll take away the chief cause of tears, what does it say? It says, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from off all faces. Like that would be all faces in that day of millennialness. One more passage. Almost the last chapter now of the book of the Revelation. course, this takes in Revelation 21. All the redeemed from all the nations and the church's sake. All the redeemed as we stand on the very portals of the eternal state. Was it so? Verse 3. And I heard a great voice out of the heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men. God so near for men. He will dwell with them and they shall be his peoples, and God himself shall be with them. Such close proximity to God that the tabernacle of God will be in the midst of men. And you and I, bless God, will be part of that tabernacle. We'll be closer to God and closer to Christ than any other. What's it say? God shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. How? Well, there shall be death no more. So tears caused by death will never be shed again. By the sorrow that brings its flood of tears, never to be tears because of sorrow again. Neither shall there be any more pain, a great cause of tears. There'll never be tears shed because of pain again. It says the first thing, the former thing. All the tragedies and sorrow and pain and death and tears connected with all creation, gone forever. God shall wipe away all tears from all places in